What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by Rob Gray. It's the seniors. We're back after a little bit of a hiatus. It's been kind of a break here from the podcast scene here at Cyclone Fanatic a little bit, but we should be back with our full lineup of podcasts this week, including CFTV tomorrow at 12:15, and as well as On the Trail. We'll be back on Wednesday with myself and Adam Gray, and then the Fawcast, as always, on Thursday. What's up, Rob? How's it going, dude?
Oh, it's going okay. I consider what we had with the seniors kind of a sabbatical.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just... our thoughts have been gestating, now we're back. We're in the thick of it. Big 12, big three-game stretch for Iowa State coming up. It's all big, but this in particular, given what it culminates with on a big Monday. So, let's jump in.
Yeah, so we're going to jump in with this. We're going to talk about some Cameron Lard here to lead off the show today. He obviously arrived in Ames on Saturday. Was it Iowa State's win over Texas at Hilton Coliseum on Saturday night? Was out there getting up some shots. I posted a video on Instagram and there's obviously quite a few pictures of him on Twitter. I have a post coming later this afternoon on whether or not he will be playing this season. It continues to sound like he won't, from what Steve Prohm has been saying, and I personally feel like that's the right move. What do you say, Rob?
No, I agree with that, and I think it's smart for Prohm not to completely shut the door on it, too, because you can't – I think it's pie in the sky. I think it's magical thinking to even entertain the notion that this guy, who had to work really hard to qualify academically, is going to get himself, well-established in that arena, get used to being here, and pick up basketball the way Prohm – teaches and coaches it in such a way that he could make a minor impact on a team that has, we can debate how productive the bigs have been, but they're experienced, on the most part. The guys who've been out there, you got grad transfers, you've got Burton playing in there. Who do you displace? I mean, I think there are so many big ifs involved with that, with a very tiny probability of being on the plus side for Iowa State for him to be able to make a major impact, which is what Prohm has said. It would have to be clear that he could do that for him to go ahead and do that and make this be his true freshman season, short season.
Well, and this is the big thing to me. I mean, when you think about how guys come in to play college basketball, ideally, you're a guy that's going to come in and you're going to be here in June. You're going to have all of June, July, August. You're going to play in the Cap City League. You're going to be playing pickup with your teammates. And all this, you're going to be doing all these different things. You're going to be having individual workouts with the coaches. I think you can get like half an hour every week or something like that, where you're just adjusting to the physicality of college basketball and the speed and the level of play that everybody is at. Because at the end of the day, a lot of these guys are grown men. They're not kids. Cameron Lard's been playing against high school kids for the last several months at Provision Academy. He was playing against high school kids even before that. And, so you get those months in June, July, August. And then in August, you go to school. You get all your time in school. You adjust to going to class. You adjust to waking up at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have to go to study hall at Hickson Leeds. You have to go and have sessions with your tutor and all those different kinds of stuff. Plus, you're still getting your individual workouts. You're getting your conditioning work in. You're getting your strength and your strength work in with the strength coach. And then practice starts, you get preseason practice, and you get in there, and you're going head-to-head with your teammates. You're learning Steve Prohm's system. You're learning defense. You're learning how to hedge hard on ball screens. You're learning how to box out physically at this level and what it takes to be able to make an impact down there in the post at this level. And then, even after all of that, you get a primer schedule where you're playing against the likes of Savannah State. You're playing against the Citadel. You're playing against, other teams that are – they're not very good, but at the same time, you're out there and you're playing with your teammates and you're learning what it's like to play college basketball. And that's, so what's that? That's another 3 months of preparation even there. And then you're at that same time sprinkled in, you're playing against the Iowas, the Cincinnatis, the Gonzagas, Miamis, the Indiana States, the teams that are the ones that are, you really get a good look at. And it's like, these are the guys that are going to help us prepare for this Big 12 schedule that we've got ahead of us. And then you get into the Big 12 play, and that's when it's like, this is the grown man's game. Down low in the post in the Big 12 is grown man territory. That's all there is to it. It is so hard to walk in one day, and then on Monday it's like, all right, Cam, go out there and play, buddy. We're going to see what you can do. That is so far-fetched to think that he would be able to possibly do that. That was, what, 6 months that I just detailed what mm-hmm. it takes of preparation to get from day one on campus to when you're going to play your first game in the Big 12? Please. I'm sorry. I don't see it.
Preach.
I'm sorry. I got fired up.
I got to say, preach. Just yeah. preach. Drop the mic.
Yeah.
That was outstanding. I think we might have to end the podcast on that note. No, I mean, such rich detail you give to what I kind of hinted at, you
yeah.
know, in my little short soliloquy. But, you know, another thing, and you might have touched on it, but you've got to develop chemistry with these guys.
Yeah. He might have played with them once. He came on a college visit or something, I'm sure. He might have gotten to play with them then. I mean, Solomon Young, he'd been playing with these guys for months before he ever stepped on the floor with them in a real mm-hmm. game. Even when the real game started, did we see him out there playing quality minutes? Not really. He was playing late in games
yep.
because it takes time to adjust. When he broke his hand early in the season, it took a process for him to be able to get back because it takes time to adjust to college basketball. Flat out, that's all there is to it. You don't just show up on one day and then you play the next, unless your name is freaking Karl Anthony Towns. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I mean, first for Lard, which I think you touch on in the piece, which is very well done, that'll be coming out this afternoon. First, you've got to adjust to college, period.
Yeah.
Then you've got to figure out where you fit in terms of basketball.
This is a kid that, like, let's not forget, he struggled to get into school in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that. He needs time to get into college and just adjust to being a college kid. That I feel like it is a lot to ask to say you've got to adjust to being a college kid, you've got to adjust to going to class, you've got to adjust to having all these other demands. Oh, and by the way, you got to go guard Jonathan Motley tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it's a disservice to him, really, as a person. On top of it all, I mean, it makes sense to dream and come up with, you know, can come up with valid quote unquote points as to why. Those ifs might lead to, oh, man, if it's a March run, can you make a bit? With all the points you made, a few of the ones I made, I think add up to that it is, like I said, magical thinking to think it could to think it could happen in that way, and him even being able to make that type of impact that he'd have to, again, his whole season would be how many games?
Yeah.
A handful? 10? Who knows?
Yeah. And I can see where – you know, I can see where the argument could be made where it's like, okay, well, you don't play him right away, but you get him ready for March. Okay, you've got 2 months for then. Well, you get him for March. What happens? They lose in the first round of the Big 12 tournament, and then they get to the NCAA tournament. They're like a 10 seed, mm-hmm. and they lose in the first round. Okay, so his freshman season was 2 games. Well, now we wasted his whole freshman year.
Yeah.
Like, that's just – it. I can see why people feel this way. And they feel this way because they want Iowa State to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to look at it from the standpoint of wanting Cameron to be successful. There's more to it than just wanting this team to be the best that it can be, because you want the kid to have the best college experience that he can have as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, you couldn't say it better. I mean, this is about him being able to feel comfortable here. This
yes.
is going to be a whole different environment, demanding academically, demanding just in terms of what is this place, Ames, Iowa. We love it,
yeah.
but it's a big adjustment for a lot of people that have lived elsewhere. So, I mean, get him right that way. And then, hey, it's okay to entertain the thought that what if he does, his basketball IQ is off the charts when he joins practice. It's okay to entertain the thought, but I think it's wild to truly entertain, you know, to think, oh, yeah, maybe that can happen versus, oh, that would be great, maybe.
It's okay to have the idea in your head, the hope that it's like, if he comes out and he's just killing everybody in practice, then it's like, okay, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not even going to start practicing
yeah.
for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He won't even start strength and conditioning for several weeks. They're giving him time to get in here and just get a routine, get a day-to-day structure, because I think this is a kid that hasn't had much structure
yeah.
just in the last year, really. And that's why I just don't get it. I don't get why people are so adamant that he needs to be able to play this year. And I've heard people say, well, this is going to be the only chance that he ever gets to be eligible at Iowa State. And this is what I'll say. And this is what I'll say about that is if he is, this is the only opportunity that he ever has to be eligible at Iowa State, that will be a major failure by the academic support system at Iowa State. There's tutors, there's mentors, there's all kinds of different stuff that you have that are watching your grades. They're watching, they know when you have homework due all week. Like, they know exactly what you're supposed to be doing, to the point that if you are not getting your stuff done, that's one, very much on you as a kid, and the other part is it's like then you weren't being pushed hard enough by the school to get your stuff done. If he's not, if he is not eligible past this semester, he should not be in college at all. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
And you have to know, of course, that the staff had a lot of due diligence in looking into what's possible with it. I mean, if they thought that it was even remotely possible that that scenario unfolds, then they have to check themselves and say, man, how are we evaluating people across the board? It's interesting because there's the glass overflowing approach with the if, the magical thoughts, and then that's clearly the glass half empty, let alone, you know, the few drops in the glass as far as approach to the same idea that he could. I mean, to sum up, I'm totally with you. I think it's...
You get what I'm saying, though, with that? I mean, there's just too many course correction type things that to say, oh, this will be the only time he'll ever be eligible.
Yeah.
Because these athletes have every resource at their disposal to stay eligible. Yeah. Every resource. This isn't, they aren't like normal students.
Yep.
People don't realize that, I don't think. I mean, they are like normal students, but at the same time, they're not. You know?
The only way that would happen is if he literally didn't want to be eligible past this semester.
If he didn't want to go
like,
to class.
Oh, forget
he didn't go to class. He didn't do his homework. Mm-hmm. He just didn't go take tests. Those are the only ways that you don't be eligible. And here, they're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
They're flat out not. How often do we ever hear of kids not playing just because their grades weren't good enough? I can't think of very many.
No, I can't.
Pass when they're maybe a freshman or a redshirt freshman, you know?
Yeah. There may be some isolated things in the past, or you found out they missed a couple of classes, something like that, but not the type of stuff that would lead to, like
complete
ineligibility. That means you're not going at all. You're just not completing anything. And if you're that checked out, then...
You don't deserve to be in college.
Exactly.
All right, so now
let's
that we
cap that.
Yeah, now
let's,
that we got, now that I got my little rant out of the way.
Great rant.
Iowa
Great
State rant. Got a win Saturday night over Texas. I will say there are a lot of people that are kind of down on Texas. There are people that are saying that Iowa State should have won this game by more. You know, that's the worst team in the Big 12. I'm sorry, but by the end of February, that's not going to be the worst team in the Big 12 because that team has some dudes on it. I mean, that was a good win on Saturday night, whether or not you want to believe it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, look at all the scores around the – I mean, we know Oklahoma State, who they're going to be facing on the road, hostile, Galgariba Arena, you know, on Wednesday night. They're 0-3.
Yeah.
But you look at their last two losses, 3 points, 4 points, leading Baylor most of the game. It wasn't a matter yet of lately. Just literally looking better than Baylor at the Farrell Center most of that night. I mean, Carroll is dynamite. That guy has grown immensely, I think. And he was a touted guy, obviously. You figure a guy like that's going to get it. Evans facilitating at a super high rate in the Big 12, almost seven assists. Forte shooting over 50% from three in Big 12 play. This team is dangerous. And like Coach Prohm said today, I think it sums up the Big 12 circa 2017, or this season in the Big 12, that there is no bottom.
Yeah.
You know, and if you think that you're that much above what the bottom team now might be, you're going to probably find yourself that
down
team
there. Yeah.
In a couple weeks. Because you look at this stretch, at Oklahoma State, at TCU, Kansas home on Big Monday. I mean, this is going to go a long way toward defining this season for Iowa State. And Ken Pom doesn't love their chances, but can you imagine if it played out as Ken Pom predicts? 2-point loss at Oklahoma State, 2-point loss at TCU, then a 2-point loss at home to Kansas on Big
Monday.
And
all after supposedly such a down performance against Texas. I mean, the sky will be falling.
That means they're coin flip games, including two tough ones on the road. Granted, against teams that don't have great records at this point, but are good basketball teams. Mm-hmm. So you gut it out against Texas. Yes, you built it to, what, 14 points, and they got it close again. But these things happen. I mean,
they shot the three better than they shot all season. Mm-hmm. You know,
and that keeps going up.
Yeah. And at the same time, I mean, they've got, you know, Jared Allen was a five-star recruit that's top 15 recruit in the country, you know. Kerwin Roach was a top 20 recruit in the country. He was a five-star guy. Eric Davis was a top-level recruit. Who else is there? I mean, I can't even think of them all. Every single one of them was a top-level recruit. They've got like five sophomores and freshmen in their rotation, and they were all, you know, blue-chip recruits. It's like this team is so close to figuring it out.
Yep.
And yeah, they've been up and down all season long. But what do you expect from a team that's young? When Iowa State's young next season, that I'm going to expect the same thing from them. And
exactly.
That's just how it goes. You can't always expect a team to be Kentucky. You know, not everybody is John Calipari, where they can have all these young guys and they mold them, and then all of a sudden you're a national contender. Sometimes you get some guys that are raw, that had top level talent. There was a reason that they were picked as the number two team in the Big 12 before the season started. Mm-hmm. That is not a bad basketball team. Iowa State got a good win Saturday night, and they've got another tough test on Wednesday coming up at Gallagher Iba, because Juwan Evans is as good as anybody in the Big 12. Phil Forte's as good a shooter as anybody in the Big 12, and that environment is rocking again. They've got that thing rolling there in Stillwater once again under Brad Underwood, and this is going to be a really big stretch, like you mentioned, for Iowa State. TCU, even on Saturday, with guys like Vlad Brodzianski and Jalen Fisher.
That guy's a beast.
Yeah, the point guard.
They are so deep. That's what strikes me about them. And that's something, give credit to our old pal, Trent Johnson.
Trent Johnson, yeah.
The pieces were in place on that. I mean, Jamie Dixon doesn't jump back, alma mater or not. Mm-hmm. And yes, he didn't win up basketball and games, Johnson, all that stuff. But they are an impressive team despite, what, they're 1-2?
Yeah. Well, with losses to Kansas and West Virginia. I mean, they played pretty bad against West Virginia the other day. I watched that game, and they were atrocious against West Virginia's press. I mean, they were consistently throwing it right into the corner, and it's like they had no idea what to do against that.
Yep. Every team in the Big 12 is going to have a game like that this season.
Yeah.
At least a game. You know, show me a team that goes through and especially this type of gauntlet with the round robin, that doesn't have an truly atrocious off night. I mean, I'd be stunned if there's a team that the worst they can say is, we didn't play very well in two games. Other than that, we were lights out.
Yeah.
I mean, the competition is just too good. It's going to dictate at some point. If you're off a little bit, you're going to be off a lot because they're going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So
Baylor's going to have it. I think Kansas will have one.
I think Baylor had it a little bit against Okie State, but they found it in the end. So it's, man, a roller coaster. Every year, you know, we'll talk about it and the roller coaster ride of the Big 12. But this season in particular, man, it is the world's biggest roller coaster. It is on steroids. It is going to go up and down, twisting. Mm-hmm. You'll be upside down some of the time and not sure what which way is up. And it's going to be a lot of fun, too.
With Iowa State, what's some of the things that have stuck out to you about these last few games, I guess? What we haven't really talked about the actual team very much.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you've seen for the team that have been encouraging for you over the last couple games?
Well, I really like Donovan Jackson's game.
Yeah,
I really like how he has taken, you know, they knew he could defend. Coach Prohm talked about it today. He figured that was an aspect of his game that would show right away. But we have to keep in mind, and yes, it's been written about, talked about, that this guy expected to come in and see major, major minutes. And then Morris, decides to come back for a senior season. Even though we kind of figured that would happen, there was still a lot up in the air, depending on what people tell him and all that. So he's adjusted to sometimes, you know, there were times this season where he didn't see the court a whole lot, but he found a way. He's as good a defender as they have, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's dynamite in terms of in transition. He's a great facilitator, doing it at a good assist turnover rate. So I've really been impressed with him and what he adds with this four guard lineup. Because Nick Weiler-Babb, that guy seems like a born leader.
Yeah.
So you have him. Naz is your guy. Naz exploding. I mean, I think everyone was worried early in the season when he wasn't hitting threes and when, you know, it looked like he was a bit down. But you know a guy like that with his attitude and his intellect, really, and his love of the game was going to turn it on. And he's just been lights out, you know, lately. You know, once he's scoring like 20 points a game or something since the Cincinnati game, and just hitting shots at, yeah, even though I wrote about him finishing at the rim, he's still really good at it. He had a couple misses against Texas, and some people let me know about it on Twitter, but that aspect of his game means so much. So I think, yes, they're getting out-rebounded too much, generally speaking, but the transition game is picking up.
And at the same time, they're getting out-rebounded, but they're forcing turnovers at a much
higher clip.
I mean, they forced 19 against Texas on Saturday, which was a team high, which was a season high for Texas. I think they forced 17 against Baylor.
Yep.
They got out-rebounded by 17, but when you force 17 turnovers, that's 17 more possessions.
Exactly.
I mean, they took like 20 more shots than Texas did.
Exactly.
Like that's ridiculous.
And the Cyclones have been, even though you don't have a real rim protector, good at contesting guys on two-point shots, you know, maybe you're coaxing, to some degree, you're coaxing teams into taking long twos with, you know, the bane of Fred Hoiberg and many others. But what Iowa State's opponent two-point percentage rate, according to KenPom, 41.7, 12th in the nation.
It's tops in the Big 12s, right?
Yeah, tops in the Big 12. At least in conference games, for sure, and it's right there. So, I mean,
I think they're second in the Big 12 in that, and then they're first in conference games only in opponent three-point percentage.
Yeah, and the twos. I mean, it just they are defending at a high, high rate. And, again, tying into to our publisher, Chris Williams' Monday Musings, today, which were excellent about this is different. Iowa State, Steve Prohm has put his print on it, and it's going to be, we're going to define ourselves by our defense. Yes, we're going to want to play fast, but it's not going to necessarily define our team.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to define our team is being so tough on the defensive end that you get those heightened turnovers. That was a hallmark under Hoiberg. They didn't get a lot of turnovers.
Well, and when you get those turnovers, that's what allows you to continue to play fast.
Exactly.
That's what makes it so that you can get out in transition, and that's when we see those times where Naz is getting wide open threes in the corner. I mean, there was times against Texas where their guys were so lost that the shooters were wide open because Iowa State was able to get the ball up and down the floor so fast, and there's times where Iowa State didn't even take dribbles because they're just push it ahead, one pass, one more pass, all right, three-pointer, boom, there we go. That's the kind of offense that Iowa State's going to have to be able to run to be successful this season, and all that whole tone starts on the defensive end. That is what has been so impressive to me here in these last couple games. And, you know, you mentioned Donovan Jackson. I really think that he's a guy that could be all Big 12 next season, not just honorable mention, second team, first team. I think he could be that kind of player because he's a guy that could score 20 points a game realistically when he's the primary go-to guy.
Exactly. He's so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if anyone gets
plus
it to the lane.
Plus his defensive abilities. I mean, he's a guy that could like lead the Big 12 in steals next season.
Yeah. And by that alone, it might qualify you for the first team. And you know he'll be able to score because he'll be much more of a focal point. Deontay Burton, another thing that struck me. As Coach Prohm was asked again, and he said it many times, it's ad nauseum kind of stuff, but kind of they need him to be. He said he texted him and said, that's the Deontay Burton we need after the Texas game. Said it's by far his best game of the season. He was such in the flow. Sometimes it seems like he stops the flow on offense when you're getting quote-unquote bad Deontay. He was so in it throughout the game against Texas, and particularly in some of those really, really strong stretches. It's impressive to see when that's going on. And frankly, in this big three-game stretch, I see them getting one of these two on the road.
I
certainly don't see them getting both, and I can't tell you which one I think they're going to get. But I see them getting one, which you know the atmosphere is going to be incredible when Kansas is here on Big Monday.
Oh, yeah, there's already people out there camping. It's I think there's just, three tents out there.
I love the Holly Rowe tweet at one of them. It's like, oh, great to see it. Don't set anything on fire.
Yeah,
like,
no kidding.
Last year. So, you know, it's all building. Again, this great roller coaster, hopefully without those pyrotechnics. And get right into it again on Wednesday against the Cowboys.
So what's your – which one of these two games are they going to win, TCU or Oklahoma State?
I think on paper they match up a little bit better against the Horned Frogs, but I think they're going to get this one.
Okay.
And I'm not sure exactly how, but I think it's going to be on the defensive. And Oklahoma State's scoring like 88 points a game. Now, granted, a lot of that's non-conference padding, but they're so good. Somebody on the defensive end is going to take away someone big, whether it's Carroll, maybe you force Evans into some more turnovers. He doesn't have a fantastic assist to turnover ratio, as good of a facilitator that he is. And I see a big game from somebody. Naz has been the guy lately. I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like Matt Thomas explode as he continues to heal with the foot and everything.
You ready for this? I think they're going to win them both.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I thought you were going to start playing jock jams.
We're always
ready for that at Cyclone Fanatic.
No, but yeah, I do think they'll win both games. I think this team's finding a groove right now. I don't know, and then I think that game on Monday is going to be a good one. I don't know that they're going to win, but it'll be a really good game.
Yeah, I certainly could see that scenario playing out. They're going to be gut-wrenching ones, though. I mean, I can't see them, even if they put together great performance in either of these two on the road, I think those teams are good enough and inspired enough and cohesive enough that there's going to be runs back and forth and it's going to be tight down to the final seconds.
We've got to head out to the Sioux Cup basketball facility here for player interviews.
Indeed.
But you got anything else to add real quick?
I don't.
This has been a fired-up edition of the Seniors.
I love it.
Yeah, definitely. Just another reminder, 12:15 on Tuesday, CFTV Live. Myself and Adam Gray will break down film from the Baylor and Texas games. What else? On the Trail on Wednesday. Get you guys ready for the dead period coming to an end. Actually, on Wednesday, it'll come to an end. So that'll be a good one. And then, of course, the podcast. And then the CF Radio Show. It's me and Brent Bloom go head-to-head now.
Nice,
I think pretty much every week on Thursday nights at Benchwarmers. A remodeled Benchwarmers. Looks really good. So come on and join us out there at Benchwarmers on Thursday from 6 to 7. Or you can check us out from 6 to 7 on 1460 KXNO. For Rob Gray, I'm Jared Stansberry. Thanks for listening.